Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hi, everyone. Caitlin here. You are about to hear a live episode that we recorded in New York, but we just wanted to do a few quick plugs at the top of the show. First of all, if you're listening to this in early January 2019, Happy New Year. If you're listening to this in, like, I don't know, 2157, then there's probably a Terminator who's trying to kill you right now, and I'm sorry. Also, where's our episode on Terminator or Terminator 2? Because Sarah Connor, feminist icon. Anyway, don't forget that we have a live show coming up in LA on January 12th at 9 p.m. at The Ruby. We are covering Romy and Michelle's high school reunion with past guest of the show, Danielle Perez. So grab your tickets to that on BechdelCast.com and click on the live appearances tab. Also, at the time of this recording, we still have a few tickets left to our San Francisco show on January 20th. And our Portland show on January 23rd. And those tickets are also at BechdelCast.com, but they are going fast, so grab yours as soon as possible. Another reminder that I personally am running a couple of intro to screenwriting workshops, one in Portland, Oregon on January 22nd, and one in Seattle on January 26th. So if you want to be like me, someone who does have a master's degree in screenwriting from Boston University, but I hate to bring it up, and you want to learn a bunch about screenwriting, then register for my workshop, which you can do if you go to CaitlinDurante.com and click on the shows tab. Okay, that should do it for now. So enjoy the show.
The Bechdel cast.
Hi.
Hey, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to the Bechdel cast.
Yeah. There's so many people. This is exciting.
We're in New York City. Ever heard of it?
Oh, my God. Very overwhelming. I was wondering who was going to say the name of the city first, because I felt insecure being like, hi, New York City. I don't know.
I used to live here, brag, so it feels like home.
Wow. Yeah. I lived in Boston for 900 years, and then
All right.
Well, welcome to the Bechdel cast.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for yourselves. So many vertical people. My name is Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
And
we talk about the portrayal of women in movies and how it's generally pretty bad.
Yeah.
So
this is our last date in our East Coast tour.
Yes, and we're here with the New York Comedy Festival. So shouts out to them. Thanks for having us. Yeah, give it up for the New York Comedy Festival.
So just a quick clap it up if you listened to the Bechdel cast before. And, like, no judgment, but clap if you haven't.
Hey, honesty, yeah. love it.
Brave.
Thanks for coming with your friends.
Brave. Yeah, imagine not listening to a podcast. Unbelievable. No, that's fine. So we will sort of break down how we run the show before we start. So we are a podcast about how women are portrayed in famous movies, and we use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point for that discussion. So Bechdel test is a test invented by illustrator, writer, general amazing person, Alison Bechdel. And Kaylin, break it down for us.
It requires that a movie, let's say, has at least two female identifying characters. They must speak to each other for at least two lines of dialogue, very low bar, and their conversation cannot be about men. But guess what? Most movies don't pass. But today's movie...
You're not supposed to tell them now.
I didn't say anything
yet. But today's movie...
Today's movie remains to be seen, but... I don't know. I have a good feeling about it.
Okay. Let's test it out. Oh, no, wait. This isn't going to pass the Bechdel test. Let's just have dialogue for a moment.
Okay, great.
Sometimes when it's usually a man, not to put anyone in a box, but if someone asks me about the podcast and it's like a guy, he's like, so yeah, it's like a show and you talk about whether it passes the Bechdel test or not. I was like, that would be a very short show. It would just be a word. Yes or no.
Yes.
No. And they're like, so yeah, that's pretty cool. What are you doing? Yeah, I've listened and it's just so you guys talk about for like what 3 hours about if it passes the Bechdel test or not. Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. Awesome. But it's a lot more. You know, you guys know.
Yeah. If you've heard of the Bechdel test, you know it's a flawed metric. What was the one? Oh, we did Miss Congeniality, and there's something that passes the Bechdel test, which is literally Candace Bergen threatening to murder Sandra Bullock, but it passes because woman-on-woman murder passes the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
And we're okay with it.
Yeah.
But that's not the movie we're talking about today.
No.
I'm so excited for the movie we're talking about today. It's a modern classic. A little movie called The Princess Diaries.
Yeah. All right, I'm in the minority here. I see how it is. Anyone else thinks it's kind of stupid?
No, they don't.
Okay, just me.
Don't make no noise. Stay very cool. But do clap if you haven't seen that movie before. Ooh. Yikes. A trapdoor just opened in the floor. Okay. So it is, it's a good job, everyone. It's a classic. We all should have been seeing it, at least once a year for the past 20 years. I'm so excited. We're doing The Princess Diaries, and we have an incredible guest.
Oh, yes. She is the creator of Headless Women of Hollywood. She is the co-host of the Misandry podcast, and she is the creator and star of the Handmaid's Tale musical. Please welcome Marsha Belsky.
Marsha.
You're the wave from the movie. I was going to try and do that coming up.
Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for being here today. Famously with a drink in her hand.
Why doesn't Julie Andrews get drunk in this movie?
She is. It's implied.
Oh,
she's fucking the driver. She's getting drunk. She's having fun. Okay.
That is one of the things I noticed in this movie more so than ever. Is she's fucking the driver.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And they're not just fucking. They're fucking. Because he's the driver, but, he feels, comfortable enough to go up to her, excuse me, madame, you're a bad grandmother.
It's like he goes, it's like the implication, he's like, I just purchased a new chair for fucking, and would you like to give it a spin? it's very...
And Julie Andrews is like, this is what older women in Hollywood... Although I love that guy, the guy who plays Joe Hector.
Hector Alonso. Yes.
Love it.
Someone knows their character actors.
Yes.
Yes. Alfred Molina could have played that part.
So, Marsha, what's your history, your relationship with The Princess Diaries?
Thank you so much for asking that.
Anytime.
Honestly, because we were talking about it before a little bit, because you didn't watch it like when it came out, because I think that's the
classic misstep.
I'm sure if I watched it now for the first time, I would be like, and even rewatching it, I was like, oh my God, you know. But I remember so distinctly when it came out, and I was like 12 or something like that, not to age myself, but I am 13. And now, like, rewatching it, it's like I'm just immediately transported back to like hanging with my friend Molly. Like, you know, just like I
you
remember.
You did Molly when you were 12?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Alone, and then watch The Princess Diaries, which is not what you're supposed to do. But I learned a lot and I grew. Yeah, I just remember because it was like she has hair like me, and it was the first time I had seen someone with hair like me, and then we soon find out it's what's keeping her from being a lady. So then they straighten her hair and pluck her eyebrows, and I was like, is that how I would look? And then I was like, no, I'm still fat. So I was, okay, come on. I was a fat kid, and I think that that's why I'm, like, interesting as a person. So if you were a skinny kid who's still skinny, you're not relatable.
If you've been hot your whole life,
then you're
probably not here, honestly.
Yeah, you're probably not here. You're not watching movies. You're
not
just,
our listener base.
Yeah, out on a boat somewhere in the
I hope
fall.
That's not offensive, but I would wager to say that lifelong hotties are not Bechdelcast target audience.
You're going to get an email from like Giselle, and she's like, I actually love your podcast.
Wow.
Please, anyone who's always been devastatingly hot, hit us up.
Hit us up.
Yell at
please.
Us. Let us know we're wrong.
Let us know. Does it pass the Bechdel if the two women are extremely hot? Because then there's zero movies. Because this movie does pass the Bechdel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, we haven't gotten there yet, I guess. But
it's fine.
This movie possibly passes the Bechdel. But I was thinking, I was like, in the two women scenes, there's a lot of talk of like country and duty, which is like not like a man, but there's also just mostly talk about the dead dad. Then the rest of it is just like women critiquing other women's looks. So does that pass the Bechdel? Because technically you're not talking about men, but like half the movie is just them being like, all right, spin.
Ugh.
No.
There's like three different characters who make a retching noise at looking at Anne Hathaway.
Oh my God.
It's like, oh.
It's
okay.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only like gay representation is like the hair salon. There's
Paola
like the
Putinesca queer icon.
And then he turns out to be evil. Like.
It's true.
A Disney queer coded villain.
Yes.
Ever heard of the course.
Classic.
He should have like merch. He should be like canonically a Disney villain.
Yeah, they might as well cast Jafar in that role. Jeez.
Oh my God. I just Jafar realized such Jason. A good Halloween costume that I missed is I should have been the where they take away the two photos of her with curly hair. It's her with straight hair.
A past like, guest of the show was the before, Rebecca Bolnes. Who,
the before,
was the before picture, yeah.
That's so smart. I mean, I just live my life as the before picture.
So, Jamie, what's your history with the movie?
I love it. I saw it when it came out with all my cousins and my mom. Before I saw it, I had only seen the poster, and hot Anne Hathaway is on the poster. And there was a boy at school, because I was like 8 or 9 when it came out. And there was a boy at school who was like, Jamie, I saw someone in a movie who looks just like you. I was like, oh.
Wow.
And he's like, it's The Princess Diaries. I was like, oh, my God, because I didn't know about the makeover. And he was like, yeah, at the beginning of the movie, she looks just like you. I was like, oh, my God, have to see it. And James McAvoy, I'll just call him out. There's
James McAvoy. James Boys McAvoy. Are socialized to, like, bully girls on their looks so young.
Yeah, he meant I looked like the before Anne Hathaway, which I, to be fair, I did.
What did he look like? I remember, like, a dude who was, like, not cute being like, yeah, Hillary Duff, like, no thank you. And I was like, what are you talking about? What are you even saying?
James McAvoy had flesh-colored hair. Like, he was gross.
Okay. James.
He shouldn't have been telling me.
It's so funny because you're going to, as like a minute after this episode drops, you're going to get a Facebook message from James McAvoy that's going to be like, hey, I'm really sorry if I hurt you back then.
My favorite kind of Facebook message.
hey, like, apparently I traumatized you. So,
sorry about that. I'm super sorry.
Yeah.
Please do not say anything about me publicly.
Publicly ever again.
A bad look.
I'm married. I have 19 daughters.
Their hair is the color of their flesh. Sick, sick, sick. Caitlin, what's your history with this movie?
Caitlin, you love it.
You love it so much?
Well, I didn't see it for the first time until, I think, like, 2 years ago. So when you see this movie for the first time when you are 30 years old, I feel like it doesn't have a lot of the charm that people think that it has.
Really connected, really told your story.
Right, yes, yes, yes.
Did the soundtrack still hit for you?
No.
Oh my God, no.
In fact, in my notes it says, worst soundtrack of any movie.
Wow.
Wrong.
Yeah, I think the movie is kind of dumb. I realize that no one agrees with me. I guess you all saw it in 2001. Brag for you. But I have no emotional attachment to this movie. And the soundtrack is bad. There is a song where it's just like, running away with my emotions or something like stupid.
That's,
like that.
How are you supposed to know how to feel?
How are you supposed to know how to feel unless they tell you how to feel through music?
I know that song plays with like a slow shot on Michael and all of his various levels of hair.
Yeah. It's very like Sum 41, San Francisco. Like,
it's like an elevator, like levels 1, 2.
Oh my God, his hair. I was so obsessed with that boy. And also, I have a theory. Yeah. So with the love interest, Michael, can we talk about it a little bit? First of all, the brother and sister's names are Michael and Lillian Moskowitz. So we do have Jewish representation. Mm-hmm. I'm Jewish in case anyone got tight there. just chill out. But so I was like so obsessed with the brother character. And then I realized because someone, I forget who, and I'm so sorry, but somebody said about Bring It On, the movie as well, that there's a bunch of movies that came out around this time where like basically she should really just be a lesbian with her friend Lillian.
Oh, for
but
sure. Yeah.
They can't allow that in mainstream Hollywood. So they write this whole brother character that like looks like her, hangs around all the time. And it's like acceptable to hook up with basically. Mm. But the whole movie is like Lillian and her should just like end up together. But instead she's like, I love your brother. Like, you know, and then the brother's like obsessed with her too. He's like conveniently, like they always have a brother that's the same age and looks like them to like fill in for like what should
what
just
they
be.
What they can't do.
Exactly.
And then they really cheat Lily by making her hook up with a magician.
I mean, they
really
fuck
mean.
Lily over. They, I mean,
I'm like, are you serious? She's the best character in the movie. And she's like, you know, she's 15. She's going to get fingered by a magician.
She is like, she's that girl. Like, she is like annoyingly like anti, because right when she gets her princess makeover, she's like, you have a fucking Gucci bag. You're fucking yuppie scum. I hate you. She's like, and she's like this super like anti-capitalist, like in an annoying way, but also like she's not wrong. You know,
way ahead
like
of her time.
Right. They're all going to a way private ahead. School, though. I'm like, I feel like
exactly.
everyone here is set for life. Like, they're
she's
fine.
The rich like person who's just like NLK, NLK in the UK. You're like, you are a billionaire.
Speaking of them going to a private school, though, so it's like a teen girl who goes to a private school that her rich grandma pays for, and whose mom wants to date her teacher. What is this, season one of Gilmore Girls?
Gilmore when you're out
sick.
On the road.
Burnt.
Feeling lonely and so cold.
Should we keep going?
We should. No, we should do the recap of the movie.
Oh, right. Caitlin's famous
Let's
recap.
Go the plot.
Okay, here we go. So we meet Mia Thermopolis. She
and Mia Thermopolis very generous.
Amelia
Vianney Thermopolis,
the princess of Genovia.
They're kind of like a Greek-French fusion food.
Right. So she lives with her mom and her cat Fat Louie.
I love Fat Louie.
Fat Louie does have 8 nipples.
Okay, we got some nipple stands.
This has been Fat Cat Facts with Caitlin. Okay. So they're in the Bay Area. She's got her best friend Lily.
She lives in a refurbished firehouse.
That place.
Which is like her mom's an artist.
My God.
It has as many stories as Michael's hair.
I just remember so much. Like, remember she has that fire pole she slides down there in this huge loft and her mom's like an artist. And like, I remember so much just being like, "Ugh, mom, why aren't you divorced? Like, can't we just like be single and you be unhappy and like I have a cooler life, you know?" Yeah.
Yeah. That seems reasonable.
"Okay, we live in Oklahoma. You're a lawyer, but can you just divorce dad and we move to San Francisco? Thank you."
So Mia, she's awkward. She's got bushy hair. She's got thick eyebrows.
You can tell she's awkward because she's got a middle part.
She's clumsy. She's middle part. Wears a retainer at night.
Glasses.
She's bad at public speaking. The whole shebang.
She almost throws up. It's like disgusting. And in front of Brink.
They're in front of Brink.
Dude.
Slash
the guy from
Strike.
Brink. Oh.
Eric, yeah. Vaughn, Denton. Oh, is it two different guys?
I forgot he had like a real name.
How is that not the same man? That's crazy.
Who are you? Wait, that's a different guy?
We're talking about DCOMs. Kaylin hates DCOMs also. He's from Brink.
Brink is due for a reboot. If there's anyone here, like industry or whatever, like, you're welcome for free. For free.
This is an all industries showcase.
I know. Everyone here is industries.
So, yeah, so Mia's whole thing is that she's invisible, basically, and she's fine with that, except that Michael does have a crush on her.
He's like the male Zooey Deschanel of this movie because, like, because she's the star, so then he's, like, the quirky, like, you know, manic pixie, whatever. And
he
he's
kind
like,
of is. Also, fun
I put
fact,
M&Ms on my piano.
The boy who plays Michael Moskowitz is in Phantom Planet, too, the band. Yeah, Rooney. Okay. Oh my God, someone keeps correcting me and they're always right. I hate it.
Wait, this was it. A big era for like this like actor like pop band crossover because you also had Mandy Moore in the movie.
Oh my
who
God.
Like there's two parts in the movie where there's no reason singing should be happening besides the fact that they're like Mandy Moore should sing. If we have Mandy, she should
it's
sing.
It's in her contract.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. Yeah, she's like every movie you must write two original songs for me to sing in the soundtrack.
Okay, so then Mia's grandmother, who lives in Genovia, shows up, and Mia is like, "Hey, who are you again?" Her grandma
she's
is like
Mary Poppins,
"Your
you dumbass.
Dad was the prince of Genovia, which makes you the princess of Genovia."
And Mia's like, "Bye!"
She's not happy.
And before that, she works at a rock climbing gym, which I found fascinating. I remember being like, "What are those?" And when, now
well, there's
everywhere.
Like so many things that you think will be subplots or actual subplots that go nowhere in
so
this movie.
So many things are dropped in this movie. We see Mia has a job for 4 seconds. It is never relevant again.
There's like a whole gym class subplot for no reason.
Oh my God. Yeah. There's the really aggressive gym teacher who's like, "Now you passed."
And then we're like, "Oh, she's growing?
She's growing as a person because she hit that guy in the nuts with a baseball." That's neither here nor there.
She does almost cripple Brink.
I love that. Hit him in the dick, ladies. Yeah. Cheers.
So then, so she's mad at her mom and her grandma for not telling her who she was. But here's the thing. The country of Genovia will cease to exist if she does not accept her role as princess. Yes, that's
this
how monarchies
crazy.
Work.
That okay. part, and they say it so quick, because I paused at that point because I stared at the screen for like 5 seconds, because the way that it's delivered is Julia Andrews is talking to the mom character, and she's like, and the drama is, like, if she doesn't do this, Genovia ceases to exist. And the mom's like, your country ceases to exist if my 15-year-old doesn't become a princess? And Julia Andrews is like, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Mm. So, like, no pressure or anything because, like, my love is unconditional, but, like, it's a pretty big deal. And where is the clause? And I don't know any royal line that where that works, where just all of a sudden they're like,
I feel like they would just have to, like, have an election.
Yeah.
Which would probably
well,
be better.
Already, there's yeah. already a prime minister of
the colonialism's completely ignored.
The government.
Yes. The prime minister.
And the prime minister sucks the teat of the regal power. Yeah, there's a lot of colonialism. Like, obviously, whenever the 50s referendum happened in Europe, Genovia was like, we're good. I don't even know.
They, like,
they're
Brexited
part of,
way before Brexit.
Exactly, yeah. I don't even think they're part of the EU. Like, I don't know what's going on with Genovia, but they're an isolationist nation.
Okay, so then there's an annual Independence Day ball that's coming up, and that's when Mia has to decide whether or not she's going to be the princess of Genovia.
Well,
and until then,
like, every teen movie needs to end in a dance.
In a ball.
In a ball.
Yeah. A prom. A formal dance.
Just like summer camp, babe. Mm-hmm. It's got to end in a banquet.
And until then, she's going to do princess lessons, basically. But her potentially being a princess has to be kept a secret until then. So then Mia meets Joe. Joe takes Mia and Lily to school, and then, like, Michael's doing the whole car repair thing. She keeps referring to a Mustang as her baby, and it's creepy.
Meet my baby.
And then there's this guy, Josh, who she has a crush on, but he's dating Mandy Moore.
Mandy Moore.
They both suck.
This is actually the prequel to Saved, is what people don't know.
Yeah.
Because I remember I saw Saved, and I was like, oh, so it's Princess Diaries.
So she's making progress on her princess lesson. She's like, oh, this is how you sit after all? Okay.
Okay, a lot of great Anne Hathaway pratfalls in this. Let's not.
Yeah. She's like, a princess crosses your ankles underneath. And she's like, it's...
She's like, you know, I cannot
sit. It's
hard.
The easiest cross in the world.
Caitlin's like, I'm a princess and I can sit. Anne struggles and we're there with her. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's great.
Then we get the makeover, which we'll unpack. No time for it now.
With the dad from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Paolo Puttanesca is the character's name.
I just said that in the most Jewish way possible.
The range on that man.
I know, the range.
He can be a bad daddy or a mean stylist.
Or a mean stylist.
So then, like, meanwhile, she's, like, neglecting her friendship with Lily. So then Lily's all like, why are you such a bad friend? And then she's like, it's because I'm a princess, but don't tell anyone. And she's like, oh, okay, that's great.
Lily was so mean to her before that, though, in the scene. Because it's like, okay, yes, like I said, she's technically not wrong, but also, like, it's just a blowout, bitch. Like, chill out.
I
she flips the fuck out over a blowout.
What if you were 15 and your only friend got violently hot overnight?
I can relate
to
that.
I would be really upset.
I guess I can relate. That's true. And that's where she's... And then Anne Hathaway, instead of being, like, sympathetic, like, yes, I am insanely hot and that's hard for you to deal with, she's just like... Well, just because your hair looks like shit, don't be mad at me. And it's like, wow. And then her brother just, like, came in his pants the second he saw her fucking bad blowout too. That's the thing. I was rewatching it, and it's like I remember it's like she had silky, smooth, straight hair, but it is not. Like, it is like all of a sudden when they would take the, like, photos away, it's a bad blowout.
Look, I don't think we should be judging women for how they look. But,
I don't know. I'm not judging her for how she looks. I'm judging the
stylist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And no, I'm judging the Hollywood stylist because they were like, here's $4 million. Make this incredibly hot girl have straight hair. And they're like, can't do it. Sorry, can't do it.
And then there's a scene where whenever she's like, hey, Lily, I'm a princess. And then as she's telling her the secret, they're behind a tree. And then for no reason, it cuts away to a guy with a leaf blower. Whoever, that happens so much in this movie. It's like a cutaway to something that's like, makes no sense. Whoever edited this movie was a bad
editor. They didn't want to do the writing.
Editor.
That's why there's so many loose ends. Because they're like, oh, I guess we never wrote that scene where she tells her she's a princess. And they're like, just leaf blower.
Just cut away.
Stock footage of a leaf blower.
Fix it in post.
Also, wait. So there's the neighbor character who's the...
Love him.
Mr. Robitussin.
Like, yes.
I paused it and rewound twice because, like, she couldn't have just said, thank you, Mr. Robitussin. There's absolutely no way on earth that they named this character Mr. Robitussin.
And yet... Here we are.
And every line out of his mouth is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
He's
it's
great.
Really funny.
I do.
He's funny,
my favorite part
but
of
he also
movie.
Sits outside in a robe talking to teenagers. So
that's funny because when we were watching it last night, Caitlin was like, so me. I was like, really? I was like, that's who you...
I really related to him. All right, we have to get through the rest of this recap really fast. So then the word gets out that she's a princess because Paolo Puttanesca leaked it. And
Assange.
Now she has all this attention. So now the Josh boy who she likes asks her out to the beach party. And then she's like, yeah, I'll go. Even though she's already committed to going to Michael's band practice. Yeah,
in cool a garage.
Hang.
And he's like,
and
why don't
Lily
you like band practice?
And like
in the
Lily's pre-web series.
So she ditches both of them, and then she realizes that Josh is a bad guy after all, and then Lana and all
after
her
friends after a very wiki feet scene with the two of them where he's like, do you want to rub my foot? And she's like, do you want to rub my foot? He's like, no, rub my foot.
Ew, like, selfish lover.
Wow, I love it.
That whole scene's fucked up where she gets naked and then like Lana, Mandy Moore's character, like pulls the tent out for the tabloids to see her. I'm like, that is assault. It's fucked up. And then afterwards, like, she goes to like her grandma, and her grandma's like, well, why are you such a slut? And like, she's like,
yeah,
grandma. Yeah, and that's when you find out how like tight her and Joe are, because then Joe is like, I really don't think you should have called your granddaughter a slut. And she's like, I'm the queen, but luckily we are fucking, so I'll let you say that.
So she listens to him. Yeah, meanwhile, like, she's getting better at being a princess. She and her grandma are, like, bonding. And then it's, like, down to the wire where she has to decide, am I going to be a princess?
And then after, like, all the bad press from beach night, she's like, I can't do it. Mandy Moore. The world's full of Mandy Moore.
She's
Morris.
Just been shown naked on, you know, what was the TMZ at the time? Tiger Beat?
Something. But yeah, it gets her. She's like, I can't do all this. But then she reads a letter from her daddy.
Yeah, which is like, is that necessary?
And she's like, oh, I guess I should be a princess.
This man who bailed on me at birth.
Yeah, exactly. And her, like, not doing it, like, her, like, that's the normal right thing. Like, where she's like, I don't know. I feel like now that I'm 15 and people are, like, sort of, like, sexually chasing me in the public eye, I should, like, not do this. And then everybody's like, have you no morals? And then she talks to her grandma right after the letter from the dad, and her grandma's like, your father abandoning you was the hardest decision he ever made, you selfish cunt. And she's like, do you want to know why your dad did it? For his country and because of his duty to his country. And then it's like, it was the money. It was the money.
And then Anne Hathaway responds not by saying, that doesn't sound right. She says to Julie Andrews, do you want a corn dog?
Yes.
Julie Andrews says, yes. Hey, and that's the scene.
Well, I guess, sure.
Oh.
Because people in Genovia are just British.
Where's the footage of Julie Andrews deep throating that corn dog? Where is it at?
Okay, so now we're at the ball at the end, and Anne Hathaway shows up, and she's like, I will be princess after all. And everyone's like, cool.
Very last minute, because she like gets caught in the rain because her car sucks.
Mm-hmm. Her baby.
Car subplot super pays off.
She's like, I mean, that was, I guess, the whole point of the car plot. You're right. I just kind of put that together where they're like, okay, so we're going to do this whole thing where she's like obsessed with this car that keeps breaking down. And then at the end, it will break down. And someone's like, perfect.
But there's also a super expensive looking trolley accident that scared me from getting a driver's license until literally right now. I still don't have one. It's so scary.
Movies have effect. Movies. And she's only 15. Remember, they even have her break the law. She drives on her own and she's like, is this because I'm not driving with a licensed driver? And at the time I was like 12 being like, yeah. Bad morals, this movie.
Yeah.
They're like, give up your life. Because the mom is like, I didn't want to tell you you were a princess because like these institutions are patriarchal. Like, she doesn't say that, but she's basically like, I would be totally controlled by your father and I didn't want that. And like, I remember when I was 12 being like, what a selfish bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty much the story. She's like, "Yay, I'm a princess now,"
she leaves her family
during her speech. Yeah.
She drops out of high school.
She goes to Genovia for real.
I didn't see the tutors.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what happens at the end. She's like, because that's the whole deal the whole time. Is she's like, because remember when she first meets Julie Andrews' character, she's like, okay, so like blah blah blah. Long story short, you're a princess. You have to move to Genovia. And she's like, what?
And also, like, she says, like, I'll have have tutors, but it's like, you're going to have a GED. Like, you're gonna Haley Joel Osment has a GED. Like, not a real.
You're going to be Lindsay Lohan and Mykonos. Like, you are not off GED. For a good path. Yeah. Mm. Just tell a 15-year-old, like, your life is set. We are obviously rich. Mm-hmm. I will drive you to school in a limo.
You can bring your cat, but not your mother.
You can bring your cat, absolutely, but your mom is, like, kind of a hippie freak. So the answer is no. No sluts in Genovia. And I just remember, too, like, their place, like, their loft, you're like, does the mom pay that on her artist?
On her balloon art? I don't know. Although, the balloon scene, another scene that Caitlin correctly argues does not need to be there. However, another great scene in the where I wanted to do that with, I was like, man, having a fun mom seems great, but it's also implying that fun moms are rich and that bad artists are rich, and which is neither is true.
Right.
I can afford San Francisco. Like,
that's like a billion square foot apartment.
I mean, that is a $1 million apartment. Like, yeah. That's crazy. With a fire pole.
Mm-hmm. Please. Mia, her bedroom has hiding. 2 levels.
I was like, Mia keeps hiding in her various rooms.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah, different bedrooms.
From her privilege, which is wild.
She's right.
And on that note, I think we should maybe take a bit of a break.
I tend to agree.
All right.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
So where do we want to jump in with the discussion?
I don't know.
Well, okay, so this movie has a ton of women in it.
Sandra Oh's in this movie. There's so much going on.
Sandra plays the principal.
Sandra, very great.
Oh my God, and Mia puts an ice cream cone on Mandy Moore's cheerleader uniform.
Wow.
Amazing.
I'm sorry, I'd like to make note that someone noticed I was running low. Thank you. Wow.
Jamie got a fresh drink for the listeners at home. Because in New York, you don't have to drive. So,
and I don't drive even in L.A. because of this movie.
Good for you. Because of this movie that traumatized you with that accident.
Yeah.
Yeah, they kind of make it seem like being hit by a trolley is like NBD. Like, she talks to the cop and she's like, it's totally no problem if you give me a ticket, but I'm about to knight you. And he's I guess I won't give you a ticket.
A cool hack for all of us, really.
I think that's what I should do, yeah.
Because no one's ever heard of Genovia in San Francisco, but so you can just be like, hey, I'm actually a queen.
I'm from Genovia.
And you're awesome. And then you can just get out of whatever.
And if the cop is like, I know that's from the movie Princess Diaries, I'd be like, oh my God, that's embarrassing for you. But also, do you want a date?
Yeah.
Me. There are a lot of women.
There's a ton of women. No father figures, really. Well, yeah.
A strong dead father figure. They talk about him all the time. They're obsessed with Philippe. Wait, I wrote down his full name. Philippe Rinaldi. They do like a French accent and some, a Greek accent and part of the name. Like,
it's worth mentioning in the books, he's alive. If you read the books, the father is alive and the grandma is way meaner.
What? Like,
but yeah, they make kind of a reverse Disney move in the case of this movie and kill the dad because that's not what happens in the book.
And the grandfather.
And they kill the... Okay, so this is something that hit for me. I've seen this movie, honestly, probably 100 times. And the first time I noticed, they mention how recently both the father and the grandfather have passed away. And kind of are like, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah. Oh my God. And they don't really say how he died, but there's one part in the movie where the grandma just goes, and that terrible accident.
But she's just like not grieving at all. She's like, yeah, my closest family members recently died.
Yeah. My son.
Great.
I know.
My son and my husband, like, they say that her husband died less than a year ago.
Wait, really? And she's already with the driver? Like, they were fucking before.
That's like, Joe, chill out. They're. When he, imagine like your husband of 1,000 years died like 6 months ago, and then all of a sudden your bodyguard is like corners you and is like, you've been wearing black for too long.
You're like,
no.
Oh my God, I forgot about
Go
that part.
Go away. Yeah.
That actually makes sense to me because like if you've been married for a long time and like you're like royalty, like you're not fucking and like, you know, like he was always... I feel like they were already fucking, but if they weren't...
That's true. We don't know.
If they weren't, then he was just like... Ugh, finally, like your husband who you're not fucking is dead, so can we just get on with this? And then her son dies and he's like, well, this is a road bump, you know.
I mean, like, everyone deals with grief differently, right? But Julie Andrews deals with losing arguably probably the two biggest people in her life by calling her granddaughter ugly.
Yes.
That's mostly how
calling her granddaughter ugly, slut shaming her for going to the beach,
right?
And almost giving Brink a foot massage, useless.
Yes.
So can we talk about the makeover scene?
Yes, let's do it.
We got it. So this, like many movies, there's a woman who's not conventionally attractive enough, even though she's played by an actress who is conventionally attractive. Mm-hmm. And they're like, we got to make you hot for reasons. And then... And then the makeover happens. And in this movie, I feel like there's a slight subversion because then her friend, Lily, is like, you're destroyed.
What are you doing? Yeah.
Someone fucked you up.
Lily's the best
character.
Lily's
supposed to be the bad guy in that scene. She's supposed to be because then like the brother is like, no, you're hot.
Well,
and like Lily's like, you're only here because we can't fuck.
Yeah.
She should have said that to him in that scene.
And then we're supposed to be mad at Lily because then Mia wears a hideous felt hat to school.
Horrible. The one thing that actually made Anne Hathaway look kind of ugly in the whole movie.
Was that felt hat, which she continues to wear throughout the movie as if it's just a hat. But then like the guy, her speech teacher, who her mom is fucking, which is also from the book, but has no bearing on the movie. No.
They throw it in just to be like, by the way, we're fucking, but... We didn't write it in.
It's a very sex positive movie.
I think, I also think this movie goes out of its way to make sure you know any woman who's single at any point in this movie is a heterosexual woman. Like,
That's the thing. It goes
out of its way to tell you. Because otherwise, why say that the mom's having sex with anyone?
Every scene, the mom is talking about who she's fucking, who she fucked in the 70s, her dad. Because I was looking for, like, just the Bechdel aspect. And then it's like every time the mom walks in, she's like, so your mom is getting it in. She's like, mom, my teacher, mom, my dad in the 70s, mom, a different man in the 70s. And her mom's like, what?
She's like, let's pop some balloons with darts.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Pop some balloons, pop some Molly. What are you, 15?
So in that scene, so Lily's all like, oh, you used to care more about like what was in your head than what was on it. And like, you can kind of get behind what she's saying, but also she is judging a woman for how she looks.
And it's just a blowout. I mean, seriously, used to care. I mean, like, I've gotten my hair straightened 4 times in my life. It took 7 hours. And every time I do it, like, some of my closest friends will just walk right past and they don't even recognize me. as a curly hair person who's not trying to straighten their hair every day, it's like, just let her have a day of silky smoothness, you know?
I did it in high school. I would do it for 2 hours every morning in high school and straighten my hair. And still, people from high school are like, oh, you used to, why don't you do that anymore? And I'm like, James McAvoy.
James McAvoy, you villain, dude.
What are you doing?
Yeah. Also, it's like, that's the untouched colonial aspect. It's like, Genovia obviously has some race issues they need to deal with. Yes. There is like, in their like little gathering they have, like the dinner that she like accidentally like knocks over the table, they have like this like Asian woman playing the lute, and there's like all this stuff where you're like, okay, you're clearly like very into this 1800s like British colonial look, and then they straighten her hair. That's fucked up, because I remember being like, I'll only be beautiful until I have straight hair. And then I got older and people were like, oh, I want curly hair, and I'm like, well, which is it, people?
Yeah, there's also some weird, like, queer phobia moment whenever Joe is like, here are your pumps that I bought. And whenever I bought them, the guy was like, do you want these wrapped or do you want to wear them? And he's like, San Francisco is such a weird place.
Yeah, there's a lot of negging of San Francisco.
As, like, a gay place.
Right, yeah. Which is so dumb, because I'm like, this movie clearly went way out of its way to take place in San Francisco. Yeah. It would have been way easier to have it literally anywhere else.
It's so Hollywood of that time. It shows you how like nothing's changed about like the bros who are in charge, because you know there's just like 20 like dudes like in charge, like, and they're like, yeah, let's make a movie in San Francisco, but let's like acknowledge like how like fucking gay it is. It's like, good for you, dude. Yeah.
I feel like it's because that like driving scene, the various driving scenes and accidents needed to happen. And I wanted to talk about that.
Let me pull up my thing.
Roast them.
Okay. So
roast the driving scene.
She's not good at driving. Maybe it's because she doesn't have a license yet, but
she's 15.
You know, there's a bunch of movies where we see women being bad at driving. It's a trope. Mm. It's also just a stereotype in the world. The moment where like a woman like panics and she's like, I don't know how to hold a steering wheel, and then she like crashes or like something happens like that. I've seen that all the time.
Dion in Clueless.
Right, exactly. So, and then there's like obviously way fewer movies where men are bad at driving. In fact, there's many movies where the whole plot
this
of the movie
is built around how good they are. Good.
Fast and the Furious, Baby Driver, Drive. There's a lot of them. But anyway, scenes like this just perpetuate the idea that women are bad at driving.
Yeah, all the male movies about driving, like, it's like that's supposed to be seen as like a positive thing. And it's like, my high school experience was like getting in a car with some psycho who's like, I don't know how to drive, but I'm going to go 100. Like, you know what? At least I'm fucking going 25 as I hit the curve. Like, whatever.
My whole high school driving experience was boys turning onto High Street and being like,
High Street, get dude.
Get it?
That was do you all they would do. Dude?
I feel like that's an extension of like cars are a masculine thing, and
but they want to fuck cars, but cars are seen as objects equivalent to women, because like they're like every car commercial is just like, stick your dick in the gas tank.
Right.
Stick your dick in the gas tank and then other women will know that you're fucking. Like, that's just like every car commercial.
And then movies that like have a woman who's like good at fixing cars is a way to show she's not like the other girls.
So. But they show a girl like in a tank top with her boobs out and a leather jacket fixing a car. And then they have to show her with a man immediately to be like, she's not gay. Like, she's not gay. Don't worry.
Right.
People are not gay. People are not gay. And especially not the hot woman that you want.
And I feel like the man is there also to, like, affirm she's doing it correctly. Like, he's also there to be like, whoa, she did do the thing to the thing. I'm a bad example of, I don't know anything about cars.
And the only speaking person of color role in this whole movie for Princess Diaries is the mechanic.
There's one cheerleader, but her only role is
speaking in sync with Mandy Moore and the other thing where they're like, dun, 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 like bring it, like where they have
Fontana,
the like,
Fontana. What's Fontana.
I'm missing
Anna,
you.
Anna, did she sing Fontana. Candy?
Yeah, and then they have the mechanic guy whose only line is he's like, you sweet on her? And that's the only line they give him. And you're like, yeah.
There's also a cop who's a person of color, but
tertiary
character.
He, yeah, he's and he's like, well, I don't have to give you a ticket. And it's like, unbelievable. This. The whole movie is about, like, where it's just the grandma being like, if you are the right kind of woman, you may achieve your power. I don't know why she's Julia Childs. But she's like, you'll come into your power if you can wave and be female and knight male officers when they feel threatened.
Well, also with the mechanic character, his whole thing, like, he's one of three, I think, people of color who speak at all in the movie. And also his character is so weird where he's like, yeah, let these teenage boys rehearse and work for me for no money.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
His whole thing. I was like, that is what? Who is
he's
this
like
man?
Very invested in the there's always like these high school movies when you look back, there's like these older people who are like very invested in the sexual lives of teens. And it's just like, arrest them. That's crazy. Like, yeah. Mr. Robitussin. Like, that's insane.
Robitussin was for sure nude under his robe.
Yes, yes. Every
no
time.
Doubt.
And he's just muttering under his breath, just being like, the queen walks to the car.
He won an Emmy, though.
Yeah, what's the name? Yeah, his first line is like, I can't believe I won an Emmy. It's like, who are you talking
for what?
To? That's, yeah, what did you win an Emmy for? That's so sad.
God. Well, speaking of
I
these sexual lives of teens,
please, let's
that
talk.
Was a horrible transition.
It's good, it's good.
But there is a surprise kiss in this movie.
Yes.
Whenever Josh, he's like, oh, there's cameras, there's helicopters, let me exploit this moment.
Yeah. At least it is, unlike most movies, it is shown as being wrong.
Yes, and she reacts appropriately by being like, ew, I didn't want you to kiss me. I think she smacks him with her sandal or something.
Yeah, it is a foot freak scene, yeah.
So if, and then later he gets hit in the dick with a softball.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let that be a lesson to you.
All you Brink men out there.
Any man who's liked the movie Brink is problematic.
Yeah.
Any woman who likes the movie Brink, you're cool.
You're cool.
Right. So if there is a surprise kiss in a movie, there's a right way to handle it and a wrong way. But this movie, I think, did it the right way.
It did, yeah.
We've seen progress since the 80s.
Mm-hmm. Something I liked about this movie and would like to tip my hideous felt hat to is
a tip of the ugly gray felt hat
that your teacher makes you take off to reveal you're the hottest woman at school. What I'd like to tip that thing to is that it is rare to see multiple generations of women in a movie at all, and especially three generations of women interacting with each other. I mean, and it's like a lot of the time they're calling Anne Hathaway ugly. A lot of the time they're not disclosing the details of this accident.
but this movie does pass the Loftus test because baldest woman in charge, Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews.
Yes. She's in charge.
Oh.
And just like seeing a woman over 60.
Because normally they
in
kill off the
role.
Middle generation. Normally they'll be like, grandma's there, mom's dead.
Right.
But grandma's going to bond with the daughter.
And all three of them have very different views of what the choice should be. And it's to this movie's credit, we do see these women interacting a lot. And we see that they have different opinions. And sometimes their opinions are weird and stupid. But, you know, that's what people are like. And so I thought that was a generally positive thing because you don't usually see three female characters at all, much less ones that are related to each other. A better version of
you
this, of course, is Jane the
You don't ever see three women at all. I can't believe we're on this stage right now. It's crazy. I've never seen more than two women at one time. Ever.
But yeah, no, Jamie, you're totally right. And then there's many other female characters. Most of the people that Mia interacts with are women. There's like the Joe exception. There's the
the Joe exception.
The Michael.
Who's right. basically, I agree with Marsha, an extension of Lily.
Right.
Yeah.
She's just supposed to hook up with Lily, but you can't have that in mainstream Hollywood.
There were echoes of Daria in this movie for me. Where Daria and Jane are a very similar friendship for any Daria heads out there, where we're just like, kiss, but she doesn't. They always
end up
with the
good
guys.
Oh, yeah, Daria and Jane.
And
that's Jane's brother, same thing. They create Jane's brother because Daria and Jane can't hook up.
And they have Six Sad World, which is basically Shut Up and Listen. So it's like kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at TomboyX.com. Shop now on TomboyX.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
So this is effectively a Disney princess movie. It's live action, but yeah. It's a Disney movie.
My God,
and
you're
it's
right. I don't think I ever
movie.
Realized that. It's literally called The Princess Diaries.
I know. I'm
These
really
are the
groundbreaking.
Things that hit me so late in life where I'm like, I can't believe I ever thought I was smart for 1 second.
Oh, it's a princess narrative. But there's a line toward the end that the grandmother says, people think princesses are supposed to wear tiaras, marry the prince, always look pretty, and live happily ever after. But it's so much more than that. It's a real job. And it's like, well, maybe people think that about princesses because your company, Disney, perpetuated that very idea
and
throughout
also,
all of cinema.
And also, in the movie, yeah, her princess that. Training is only based on the
her
thing
looks,
she just described.
Yeah. Yes.
She's not taught, like, how to run a country.
No,
like,
not at
all.
She's
taught how to sit.
She's not taking civics lessons. She's not, like, taking... No. This isn't The Crown.
There's right. no pressure on her to know how to speak in public.
None. Yeah, that's the whole thing at the beginning. She's like, I can't talk in public. They're like, we'll just make you hot. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. She mentioned, you're like, well, you'll learn languages and like study policy, but we don't see that. We only see her getting hot and then right. maintaining her yeah. hotness.
Also, am I supposed to believe she's at the end, like going on a plane to Genovia with Fat Louis the cat, just being like super happy. Like, I made my decision. Like, I had to leave my boyfriend when I was 15 for like 3 weeks and I was bawling. I was like, I mean, am I supposed to believe that she's just like, yeah, like whatever happens, happens. There's no way.
And also the thing that kind of swings, the final thing that swings her decision is a letter from her dad who abandoned her at birth. And
yes.
that's the thing that changes her mind. It's like you have at least 3 women in your life who you see right now every day who have more perspective into who you are.
She doesn't care.
And then it's like a handwritten letter from her flashback dad who's lounging in a field of daisies for no fucking reason. Being like, dear woman I abandoned, hope you're hot. Like, yeah.
That's the weird thing about Lily, though, too, because there's this one scene where the writers clearly gave up because, like, she's just like, yeah, so, like, you know, and my dad who just died, like, a year ago or whatever, and Lily literally goes,
oh my God.
I thought you were over that.
No, it was 2 months.
She goes,
2 months.
She goes, it's 2 months. I kind of thought you were getting over that. And she's like, well, yeah, but I'm still, like, pretty sad about it. And she's like, but, like, he wasn't even there for you. And, like, also, you're hot now.
So
shut the fuck up.
Is she hot by then?
Wasn't that right after?
Is
oh, it was before. So even before, so she's just like, get over yourself. Like, Lily's not a good friend. I'm sorry.
There is a moment that I enjoyed later on where Lily's like, hey, actually, you being a princess is cool because you can, like, affect change.
Hook me up with shit. Yeah. Right. Oh, right.
But,
affect change. Right.
But again,
same thing.
Yeah. She has a Fabergé egg already. Like, and she didn't know her dad was a prince. Okay.
I forgot that's the end. She's like, I've decided to do this because I'll be able to do good in the world. It's like, yeah, fucking right.
That's what the movie should have been about then. Like, I feel like it should have been Mia feeling strongly about a cause.
Yeah,
and then
she had no cause.
Having, once she's a princess, she's like, yes, I can use this platform to, like,
her cause was my
change.
Hair is curly.
Right.
Well, and then, like, your hair is straight now, and she's like, my cause is gone.
The Meg Cabot books, I have not read them in many years. I will never read them again, sorry. But they're very different. In that, like, there is a sequel to this movie that still has Anne Hathaway and Julie Andrews. I haven't seen it in many years. I know the premise of it is Anne Hathaway has to get married in 48 hours or Genovia ceases to exist.
Oh, my God. Genovia's constitution did not think ahead at all.
The book series is very different, where I would argue that there's a lot of the same core problems, but the rest of the book series sort of goes on, like, Mia has to go to Genovia during school vacations, but she continues to go to school. And right. So it's more like she's more of a normal person, like, juggling. It's more Hannah Montana.
Going to Europe every weekend. Yeah. I'm sure that makes her relatable to her teen peers.
Yeah.
That's the girl I would want to be friends with. She's like, I go to Europe every weekend. You can't come. Bye.
But they totally, like, there's at least some of the basics of this first movie are based in the source material. And then they just totally jump the shark and they're like, well, if Anne Hathaway doesn't get married, there's going to be a genocide. Like, it's just crazy.
Everybody in Genovia dies.
It's horrible.
We blow up
they're
the
like,
whole
we're gonna
goddamn
nuke
country.
It if something happens.
Genovia becomes Greece, France, or whatever it's supposed to be.
We must deflower Virgin Anne or the nuke drops. Like, it's just
oh my God.
Terrifying.
It's so true. Yeah, she's like 15 and they're like, are you ready to be a princess? Do you even want to fuck? She's like, I don't know. I'm just a nerd.
One last thing I wanted to talk about is the part where the paparazzi takes all the photos of her getting surprise kissed by Josh
Frank.
And then changing out of her swimsuit. And then the press is like,
yes.
Wow, what a party animal this new princess is. And
oh my gosh, wait, my favorite line. There's a really lazy line by, like, one of the newscasters in this world where she's like, we're a night of fun turned into too much fun.
It's like, great journalism.
Great job.
But I feel like it's a commentary on how, like, the press often villainizes young women.
Yes. Even the grandma.
Yeah.
Even the grandma's
right.
Like,
she bought it.
Little saucy minx.
She basically slut shames her
that
own
scene's
granddaughter.
Horrific. I feel like that scene traumatized me. Because, like, there's all these, like, pseudo-sexual assaults that happen in these, like, PG movies where it's like, hey, like, go ahead and get naked in a place that you think is private, but, like, someone might film this. Like, I guess I should prepare for that. But maybe you should. Like, fuck. And so now I live my life as a never nude because
you've got cutoffs under there?
Okay. Positive someone is filming me at all times. So I think that's a healthy balance.
On the other hand, I would argue that her mom is very sex positive because she's like, I think I'm going to have my first kiss tonight. She's like, you go, girl, go kiss. Even though that boy sucks and I know he sucks. Like,
I mean, her mom's like a bully,
so though.
Your body, your
she's
choice.
She's like, I want a romantic kiss or my leg goes up. And her mom's like, loser. Her mom's like, oh, you want your leg to go up during your kiss? And then, like, every scene is her mom just being like, I get fucked a lot, so good luck to you.
Does anyone have any other final thoughts about the movie?
Okay. So I will never not love this movie. However, this is, like, one of those movies, like many princess movies, but I think this one, more so than any other movie I grew up with, it is a movie that gives you, like, an avatar character to plug yourself into when you're a young girl. Mm-hmm. And so that makes, like, what happens in the movie 10 times as important, because most any girl who is young thinks they look like shit. And that is how, like, I feel like there's no, like, young woman here who didn't see Anne Hathaway at the beginning of that movie and be like, yup. And
again, if you didn't and you're still hot, you're not relatable or cool as a person.
Congrats. Email us. We'd love to hear your experience as a hot person. But like, when there are movies where there's clear characters that are written and designed for young people to, like, plug themselves into, you have to be so careful with how you manage that character. Often the issue with these characters is they are boring. Example, Harry Potter, where you're like, everyone's going to be like, I'm Harry Potter. But Harry Potter's like, I don't do anything and I have money. I'm
mystery money.
But I'm like an underdog. Fuck Harry Potter. Anyways, they're...
I just listened to you guys' Harry Potter episode. It's so funny that you brought that up.
It's I hate Harry Potter.
Hilarious.
I love Harry Potter because I have
Jamie
good
was like,
taste.
I hate Harry Potter. Yeah. Jamie, like, starts off the podcast by being like, I hate Harry Potter. And then your guest, Maggie May, I think, was I remember waiting in line at midnight to get the new Harry Potter books. And Jamie's like, yes, yes, yes.
I was like, I was there too, but I also hated it.
I hated it.
All that to say, clear avatar characters who go from non hot to hot, who go.
We all were Hermione.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And
in the movie, too, they straighten Hermione's hair and all of a sudden she's hot. That was always the, like, you have curly hair, but you're thin. And then they straighten your hair, take off the glasses, and they're like, boomtown.
Yeah. And so that's, like, a downside of this movie is it like, the takeaway is, like many movies, being hot will solve most of your problems.
Right.
And once you get hot, you're probably actually rich as well.
Yeah. Which is amazing. Yeah. You never see a makeover where they're still poor afterwards. That's true. That would be an important, again, industry free idea. You're welcome. I'm going to make that. And they're going to be like, we've done it.
Well, it's like when I straightened my hair for the first time, I was like, yeah, you still suck.
I know. I did. Movies did teach me that, like, once I got my hair straightened professionally for my bat mitzvah. And I was like, my life is about to change. And then, like, everybody was like, no, we still think Heather's the hot one. I'm like... Unbelievable.
Why is Heather always on?
Heather's always on.
There's television shows about it.
But yeah, you're right. Movies like that have to be very careful with how they handle it. And I would argue that this movie does not handle it very well.
No.
But
they say Bushman eyebrows. They're like, hello, Frida Kahlo. Like, no sensitivity whatsoever.
Frida, a movie that Alfred Molina is in.
Thank you.
Wow. That's
very true.
Also,
I see we have a listener in the front row with a feminist icon, Alfred Molina
shirt.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's
your name?
Happy Zoe.
Shout out to Zoe.
Yes.
Shout
you
out
were
to
the before shot.
Also, speaking of bodyguards who fuck, Whitney Houston produced this movie.
Wait,
yes.
What?
Yeah.
She did, and literally I was like, it's not that Whitney Houston, and it is and it that is. Whitney Houston.
It's always is. That Whitney Houston.
Worth noting, this movie has many female producers, directed by Gary Marshall, but
it's always
written by a woman
men.
And based on a novel written by
Meg
a Cabot. Woman. Yeah. So
love Meg Cabot.
A lot of
Yay.
Women.
Okay.
Read her adult novels as well. I haven't read them since I was
Wait,
an adult,
she has horny
though.
Novels?
Like is she good? Is she, like, genuinely, clap if you've read Meg Cabot.
I've heard of Meg Cabot,
Does she hold up? Okay, I've heard, I mean, I, like, really enjoyed her, but I read her through high school, and I haven't read her since, but I would argue the source material for this series is much better than any of the movie adaptations.
Always. They're always like, let's dumb it down,
because
sex it up.
And in the books, it's literally, it's called The Princess Diaries because it's written first person from Mia. It's her
diary.
That's
what I wondered, too, because when I was rewatching, I was like, why is this the diaries? Like,
right.
There's no,
and
at least in Bridget Jones's diary, they make a loose attempt to be like, September 21st.
Well, in the movie, they change the diary to be a diary she's given that her father wrote in. And that's the
princess
diary.
Oh, that's what it is
diary.
At the end? Okay, but he's not
that's
the princess.
That's as close as we get to. Like,
then it should be called the prince's diary
the
that
princess
he gave
diary
to his daughter.
About his daughter he said to fuck off.
The prince's diary that he bequeathed upon his death. That's a good name. That's a good title for a movie, objectively.
Hey, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
This is
We've
my
been
thing.
Teasing it for an hour.
yes, it does pass the Bechdel test because there's a lot of conversations with two women that are like over one line that are about country.
Yeah.
But mostly about the dead dad, who is a man, and also about looks, which is like, that's an interesting thing because there are so many like chick flick movies where it's like, I guess technically they're like speaking not about a man, but they're speaking about making yourself appeal to the male gaze.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Who had it on their bingo card? Mark it down. Male gaze got one in.
That's something we come up against a lot. There's versions of media tests that say that women can't be talking about domestic stuff.
Like, right.
But based on this movie and like based on 2 years of doing this podcast now,
yeah,
like I think the thing that I would jump to first is making a media test. Like, it can't pass the Bechdel test if women are insulting each other based on their looks, because it passes the Bechdel test in this movie, our version of it, and technically whatever the canonical version of it, so many times when women are telling each other they look like absolute shit.
Yeah.
And it's like frustrating.
And it's not even in like the way that it is with like me and my friends. It's like, you look like shit, girl. You know, like where it's like a compliment.
Yeah. Right.
It's like, because you're working so hard.
Well, so many of the passes that we've had are either they're talking about food or making food. They're talking about clothes. They're talking about some other like hair makeup thing.
Yeah.
Or it's like, you should kill yourself. She's all that. I'm going to kill you, Miss Congeniality.
Or A Star Is Born. Hi, I'm Gail. This is the way to the stage.
Feminist Shout out, icon Gail. Gail. Let's write The Princess Diaries on our nipple scale, if you're not familiar.
Yeah, nipple scale.
Oh, cheer for the nipple scale. If you're not familiar, we rate the movie based on its portrayal and representation of women based on a scale of 0 to 5 nipples. I'm going to give this...
I'm sorry, what's a nipple?
What is a nipple?
Yeah.
Does anyone in the audience have an opinion?
Like, can anyone describe it?
Does anyone know?
Does anyone want to show?
Does anyone want to show?
Are you doing like a show us your tits to the audience right now?
Show us your tits, highbrow.
It's a show first.
I'm sorry, I'm not quite familiar. Does anyone have a nipple?
On hand.
On hand. Which hand?
I think I'm going to...
Oh, my God,
we see one of them.
Thank
you so much.
Good nipple. Fancy, but
that could go on Instagram.
Yeah. I think I'm going to give this a 2.
Two nipples.
Oh my god, someone's like,
look.
No, it's
you
everyone's
just lost
entitled.
A bunch of listeners.
Everyone in their head have their nipple, because we don't listen to us, you know?
Right.
We're stupid.
Yeah, we don't know what we're talking
about. Have
your
nipple count in your head.
But I'm going to give it a 2, because even though in the movie there's female relationships and female friendships, which is great, I do like a lot of the characters, especially Lily and Fat Louie and Mr. Robitussin. Two of those are male identifying. But Lily is cool. So I do appreciate like the female relationship aspect of the movie. But because almost the entire movie is framed around, she's got to be a very specific standard of beauty to even be considered to be able to do this whole princess role. The movie spends no time being like, hey, you should maybe learn about, you know, policy
character,
or like anything like that. Right.
About the country.
Yes, about the country itself.
Yeah, it's all about, and a lot, I feel just like a lot of things kind of happen to her. And
they don't even show it on a map. They don't want to even give us like a loose, like, it's here.
So, yeah, I think, like, there were opportunities for this movie to be about something more important, and it simply was not. So, I am going to do 2 nipples, and they both go to Fat Louie, obviously.
I'm going to give this, I guess I'm going to go 2.5. Mm. I love this movie, dear. Oh, my God. I was going to go 3. Can everyone relax? With someone like, oh,
there was a
gasp. I'll go 3. I remember when I was like, I don't succumb to peer pressure. I want everyone to think I'm cool. I am going to give this, I'm going to give 3 nibbles. And there are a lot of issues with this movie, which we have spent time discussing. There is obviously a lack of diversity. We only see one woman of color in the entire movie, and she's basically one character combined with another like white girl, because they only speak in unison.
Oh, Sandra Oh, though.
They only speak in unison. Sandra Oh is a
round of applause for Sandra Oh. Yeah. She is very funny. And she has multiple exchanges in the movie that pass the Bechdel test because she is a woman in charge. She's the principal of the school.
That's true.
She's either listening to or dismissing her students, depending on who it is.
That's the thing. She's kind of like, you know, kind of like a bitch. And then like whenever she finds out that like Mia's a princess, she's like, oh, Mia. I'll do anything for you.
Yeah.
Which kind of speaks to, like, what I do like about this movie is not just you see many generations of women in prominent roles. You see a lot of different personality types from women. And I think that that is a rarity in movies, especially movies marketed to young girls specifically. I think a common fumble is like all women have to like each other. If you don't like every single woman, you are bad. And you see in this movie, there's so many different kinds of women. You know, you see Mia, you see Julie Andrews, who has been raised by the patriarchy and is has issues. You see Mandy Moore, who genuinely is a despicable person and deserved to get coned.
Lana got coned.
You see Lily, who is like a very socially active kind of woman. You see like a lot of different kinds of women
with
and
no
a lot
specific
of kinds
cause,
of
which we respect.
She's at some point. She's tofu. Like seals, tofu, green cows. There's a lot of different.
She wears buttons on her jean vest.
I think that's an accurate
know?
Representation of a high school activist.
Oh, totally.
They're like all injustice, basically.
She's like eating French fries. Like I'm a vegetarian.
Yeah, it's like you see a lot of different types of women, and you see them interacting with each other and having differences of opinion and seeing them resolving issues. And that's not something, in spite of all the issues we have talked about, I think that that was definitely something that resonated with me. And people love this movie, and I still really like this movie. So three nips from me, giving one to Mia and giving one to Lily. And I'm giving one to Sandra Oh. I think that's my choice. Yeah. Yeah. Marsha, what do you say?
You know what? Honestly, I'm going to give it three nipples, just like Marky Mark. Three nips, just like Mark Wahlberg. Because, this is the thing. Upon rewatch, because at the time, all these movies that I watched, I was just like, great message. Love it. I hate myself. But love the movie. Like, rewatching all the, like, there's this one movie, I think it was called, no, it's not Head Over Heels, because that's the Mel Gibson one, but there's some movie where it's like Freddie Prinze Jr., and he's dating a girl who lives with all models. And she's like the regular looking one. And I remember being like, if that's regular looking, kill me. And that's what this movie is, because I remember at the time being like, okay, Anne Hathaway before, like, all right.
One of the more convincing, and we condemn movie makeovers, however, this is the only effective movie makeover where you genuinely see a marked difference between one and two, where, like, when we did Miss Congeniality, it's like, it was Sandra Bullock the whole time.
It was Sandra Bullock the whole, that's the thing with all these movies. It's always like, she's all that. You're like, okay.
It was her. Yeah.
She was Josie all along. Josie. But okay. So three nipples. One to Mia Amelia Thermopolis Rinaldi, whatever her name is. And I want to give one to the mom who just like refuses to be slut shamed. And I respect that so much about her. Because every scene is her being like, I fucked your teacher. And Mia being like, what? And her being like, in the 70s, I fucked someone that looked like your teacher. So One for the mom, one for Mia, and one is sort of a conglomerate of what should have been one character with the Lily brother. And that's, oh, and I feel bad missing Julie Andrews, so I'm going to change mine to 3.5 nipples to give sort of a higher score than you guys. We can get like the Olympic judging, like median grade out of three.
So we get down to.
For Julie Andrews, because God bless her, she deserves an Oscar for this role. Don't argue with
she
me.
She does.
She at least deserved a Golden Globe. I don't know if she got one, but.
Says no.
I mean, because I think that Oscars should be decided not based on if the movie is good, but based on what people did with the source material. Because there was not a lot you could do with this movie, and she stayed committed the entire time. She was like, no, I am a Genovian queen. And at like 12 years old, I remember being like, Genovia is real. She's the queen.
I would like to revoke one of my nipples from Mia and to Meg Cabot. Yes. Because her source material
that got botched. I mean, these authors are so brave. Like, where they're like, I read the Call Me By Your Name author where he was like, honest, and I read the book after I saw the movie. The ending's completely different. I think they should have done the ending like the book. And the author was like, they changed my whole story, but I really respect it. And I'm like, I don't know how you do that. Because if I wrote a book and someone changed like one thing, I'd be like, no!
But what about $1 million?
Yeah. Actually, that's the thing. Yeah.
The swing vote.
I could have so much integrity before I actually write anything. And then I write a book and they're like, we'll give you $4 billion. All the characters are different. I'm like, you got it, babe.
Like, kill them. All male reboot. What,
yeah, all male reboot. Fuck
Prince
women.
Journals. Prince
Well, Marcia, thank you so much for being
thank
here.
Thank you for having me.
Give it up
me.
For Marcia Belsky.
Thank you.
Well, what do you like to plug? Where can people follow you online?
You can follow me online, Marcia Belsky, just my name, on all places. Yeah, I'm kind of like a guy's gal, so like, unless you're into like men's rights, like, don't follow me.
Great. Big thanks to the New York Comedy Festival for having us.
Thank you so much.
Big thanks to Baby's All Right for having us here. You can follow us at Bechdelcast, all the stuff. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
Give it up
you.
For yourselves.
Hey everyone, it's Caitlin again. Just wanted to say from Jamie and I, thank you again to the New York Comedy Festival for having us. Thanks to the venue, Baby's All Right in Brooklyn, for hosting us. And thanks to our guest, Marcia Belsky. She was great. And make sure to follow her and to follow Headless Women of Hollywood. Speaking of following things on social media, you can do that for us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Bechdelcast. You can grab our merch at tpublic.com/thebechdelcast. And you can subscribe to our Patreon, aka Matreon. It is $5 a month, and you get 2 bonus episodes every single month. Plus, you'll have access to our entire back catalog of all of the Matreon bonus episodes. So become a matron today, and you can do that at patreon.com/Bechdelcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And finally, from us here at the Bechdelcast, have a great 2019. All right, bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ+ bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.